This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Massacre last night in New Orleans. The Eagles destroy the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. Game not as close as the final score would indicate. It was 40-6 at one point in the fourth quarter. This was beginning to end decimation. Even the first drive of the game for the Eagles was short-circuited by a controversial offensive pass interference call on A.J. Brown, where I think America felt like, well, here we go again. This is the cheat Pete is coming here. The Chiefs are going to get the advantage of all the calls. As it turned out, they really didn't. I don't think the referees were a factor at all in this game. If anything, that call was made up for.
That call was an accurate call, too. When they finally showed the replay where A.J. Brown actually grabbed the defender's face mask and torqued it, that's understandable.
Yeah, and then there was a call that went the Eagles' way on an unnecessary roughness penalty on Trent McDuffie that was borderline. He hit Dallas Goedert after an incomplete pass that kept a drive alive. There was another Nick Bolton hit, a late hit, on Saquon Barkley after the whistle that turned a second and 26 into a first and 10 for the Eagles. But here's where I was going with this, Seth, is that at least on the first two calls, even after the replay of the one where A.J. Brown caught a bit of the face mask on the defender, Tom Brady very critical of both of those calls early in the game, one that went in favor of the Chiefs and one that went in favor of the Eagles. And that was one of the things that when they made this exception here to let him, you know, be on commentary while owning a part of the Raiders. And by the way, from what it sounds like, being a fairly active owner with the Raiders, not like a, you know, in the background, like he's having input on things. He was highly critical of the refs, which I thought was great. Like, he's serving his audience to be critical of the refs. I do wonder how long the league allows for, as defensive as the league gets with criticism of the officials, like how long they allow for Brady to function as an announcer the way he functioned last night.
Right. You know what, the one thing last night that I thought was curious, which doesn't involve Brady directly, it was an Eagles running back. I can't remember if it was Saquon Barkley or not. It looked like a horse collar out of bounds.
It was Gainwell.
It was Gainwell, that's right. And it looked like a horse collar, and he thought it was too.
Yep.
And then I'm like, all right, guys, show the replay here. I wonder if the Fox broadcast made a decision like, I don't know. I wanted to see whether it was a horse collar or not.
Yeah.
That's another one of those ones that kind of like a face mask. I feel like you should be able to make a call. If it's something like that, especially if it's a safety issue, that you should be able to make a call from the booth review or something.
Yeah.
But, as far as Brady, I thought, like, last night, I don't know. There's a difference between criticizing the officials and disagreeing with a call. And I think last night I felt like he was disagreeing with calls.
Okay.
And that's different. I don't think they ever expect the announcers not to disagree with calls. They just don't want you to go all in and say that, you know, that was a horrible call by the official or whatever. There's a maybe a tone that's involved with
right,
it. And
right.
It's probably a bit of a gray area.
Or at some point, maybe in the second half, you're just making general statements about the overall officiating of that game. Like
yeah.
this officiating crew is not doing well tonight. That kind
yeah,
of thing.
Then they're gonna they get more sensitive about that.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the other one? Well, the one that I thought Brady was went a little bit. Sometimes I do think sometimes the quarterbacks, especially when they're in the booth, they don't want to be perceived as the guy that thinks the quarterback deserves all these protections. Like Aikman, he might be the most bloodthirsty play-by-play guy there is.
Oh, yeah.
He criticizes every roughing call, it seems like.
Yeah.
But the one last night, that late hit by the Chiefs, like, yeah, that was a late hit. It was like four steps late on the receiver.
Yep.
And Brady criticized that a little bit at first, and then they watched it a couple more times, and he understood why it should have been a call.
Well, that was so huge, too. I mean, he's second and 26. You're trying to get any semblance of momentum that you can
yeah.
if you're the Chiefs. And Nick Bolton does that, and I thought Spagnuolo was going to have an aneurysm on the sidelines.
Yeah, at first I couldn't tell whether Spagnuolo was mad at the officials or at Bolden, and it looked like he was mad at Bolden.
Yeah.
It was just a dumb play by him.
Yeah, it was just a dumb play. You got to know.
That was, again, you brought up earlier how, okay, they're both well-coached teams. That was one play where I felt like, man, the Chiefs, at times last night, looked like the team that wasn't ready to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, but look, hey, DeAndre Hopkins has never been in a Super Bowl before. He stumbles and lets a ball carom off his left hand. Very non-DeAndre Hopkins type behavior.
Yeah.
There were parts last night where I felt like the Chiefs looked like the greener football team than the Eagles.
Speaking of Hopkins and speaking of the officials, we'll get to a few other observations here in a second. This was DeAndre Hopkins. I think you and I both agree. I don't think the officials were a major factor in the game. Do you? I thought it was
a pretty well
officiated game, right?
Yeah.
Here was DeAndre Hopkins.
There were a couple moments that could have been worse, like the offsides that turned into a false start for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Offsides by the Chiefs turns out. A couple of those, like if the Eagles had missed the field goal after that, there were moments where it could have gotten uglier. But by and large, there weren't that many flags in general.
No, there weren't. Where the long snapper got called for the false start. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. They still made the field goal. Barely. But they still made the field goal. Yeah, and in a game that ends up being 40-6 early in the fourth quarter, it's hard to blame anything on officiating at that point. That didn't stop DeAndre Hopkins after the game. Here was DeAndre Hopkins, former Houston Texan, following last night's Chiefs loss.
You know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously what y'all going to say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all going to report that? Are y'all going to talk about the refs now?
No, because there's nothing to report. No.
You guys got destroyed.
This is...
Did you see your quarterback getting destroyed, but because the offensive line was getting destroyed? Did you understand that part of it? Were the officials complicit in that?
That's,
my God.
That's disappointing, because DeAndre Hopkins is not a dumb guy. Like, he's a smart person. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard anybody say in a press conference right there. You lost 40-22 in a game that you were, honestly, from midway through the second quarter on, the game was never close. It was 34-0 at one point. It was 40-6 at one point. You, DeAndre, scored one of them. You scored a couple trash touchdowns at the end of the game to make it look closer than it was, and you're blaming the officials?
That might be a result of, I'm guessing, if you're a Chiefs player, it would be impossible to not maybe think a little bit about snarky stuff you'd like to say after a victory about the officiating. And DeAndre might just, he might not have been able to pivot off of the circumstances. There were probably a bunch of them. They were probably ready to, like, oh yeah, take that. Who cares about your affair? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what it's part and parcel of is DeAndre's just, he's on social media a little too much. He's got rabbit ears. He does. He's got rabbit ears, and he's been hearing all the stuff that's been frustrating a lot of Chiefs players, that there's plenty of fans out there that are attributing their entire dominant run here over the last couple of years to officiating, which is silly. Have they gotten the benefit of some 50-50 calls at really crucial times? Yes. Does that diminish their greatness as a dynasty? Not in my mind, and honestly, not in a lot of people's minds, but I think that's DeAndre listening to the loud minority on social media, making all the jokes about the refs, probably seeing some pictures and some memes of the officials stretching out before the game, saying Chiefs warming up before the game.
Yeah.
and he's taking it personally there.
The one of the big booth reviews that was pretty clear cut was it the Devontae Smith first? It was called a touchdown.
Jahan Dotson.
That's right. Yeah. It was Dotson. And it was on. It was pretty clear that he didn't actually make it in. Like that was a moment where I was like, I'm glad that wasn't any closer than that. I just want to enjoy a bludgeoning without there being any kind of. I'm glad that the Eagles scored after that. Like that was a classic moment where. Yes, that's a standard booth review.
Yeah.
I mean, they review all scores anyway.
Yeah.
And it just I didn't need it to be millimeters, okay?
Well, you know,
I just don't have it. I need to take a break from all of this for a while.
It was obvious. And you know who was glad that they turned that call, that they flipped that call? People like me who had under on the jersey number of the first person to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I had under 15.5. And so
the jersey number would be 15 or less.
15 or less, yeah. And so it was originally Dotson, number 83 for the Eagles. I would have lost that bet. But instead, they tush-pushed Jalen Hurts, old number one, into the end zone.
I'm surprised Jalen Hurts doesn't have a Dude Wipes endorsement. If you're one of the guys responsible for actually pushing them from behind there.
Yeah.
You want to be sure you're not, sacrificing more than a football player should sacrifice.
Or every center, the most famous centers should have a Dude Wipe.
Every single center. Remember John Wade, the center for the Bucks? They would talk about how sweaty he was all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was hard for the quarterbacks because he was sweating so much. I know John Wade. I don't think it was his favorite thing that they had to talk about on broadcast after broadcast.
Remember Michael Dieter last year had to change jerseys multiple times during games?
Yeah.
Because of the sweat.
Because CJ was having a hard time gripping the ball.
Last night, speaking of Hurts.
They should do that at the combine. They should put you on a treadmill.
Measure the sweat.
And have you go for 20 minutes, get up to max heart rate, and just see how much butt sweat you've got.
That's right. Can you imagine your butt sweat affecting your draft stock?
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whose stock was more affected last night, do you think? Hurts to the positive or Mahomes to the negative?
I think Hurts to the positive.
I think so, too.
I mean, ultimately, Mahomes has the pelts on the wall. Now, when it comes to greatest of all time discussions, that's where I think everybody can step back and say, all right, it's not as simple as because he's won three already before the age of 30 that he's going to win six more if he plays until he's 40.
Yep.
It's a little bit tougher than that.
I think it matters that they've gotten, and Mahomes has gotten, his ass kicked in the two Super Bowl losses, especially when one of them was to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, head-to-head.
Yeah, when Brady lost the Super Bowl, he made a game of it at least.
Always.
Where Mahomes just kind of packs it in.
He lost two close Super Bowls to the Giants. And granted, those were both upsets. One was a monumental upset. So some would say maybe, okay, well, he has a close game, but they were two touchdown favorites in one of those games and like a field goal favorite in the other. And then in the other Super Bowl, they didn't lose it because of Brady. Brady threw for 500 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles. They lost it because Matt Patricia's defense couldn't shut down Nick Foles, of all people.
The only thing that scares me about the Chiefs right now is that Xavier Worthy is just a rookie, and that they're gonna he's gonna get better. You know, like that's He wasn't Tyreek Hill this year, but he could develop into that type of a weapon.
Yep.
That's the part that you got to remember. All right, and if they figure out the offensive line a little bit, then the offensive line stays healthy, then that's a whole different scenario.
They're the favorites. The odds have come out this morning on winning next year's Super Bowl, and the Ravens and the Chiefs are both plus 650, 6.5 to 1, essentially. And then the next three teams are all 7 to 1. It's the Eagles, the Lions, and the Bills. They only showed the top five, so I don't know where the Texans... If I had to guess, I would say the Texans are probably somewhere around 15 to 1, somewhere in there. You know, probably top 10 or 12, but not in the top five. Text message, people hated the Patriots, but it was definitely for different reasons than they hate the Chiefs. And you can see it with how maniacal Brady and Belichick were with winning at all costs. A different type of hate with that than just hating a bunch of pretty boys having everything lined up in their favor continually.
Yeah. So, is that just, he's just describing the difference in the Chiefs' hatred?
Here's how I interpret that text.
It didn't seem like he thought one was better or worse than the other.
We hated the Patriots because they win all the time, but at least they were blue collar.
Yeah.
I hate the Chiefs because they're pretty boys who the refs are in their pocket.
I guess because in my mind I went to the Spygate and everything, and then Deflategate with the... I think there was an element with the Patriots where people felt like Belichick himself was just a dirty dog. Yeah. And I know that people around the league didn't like Belichick and just kind of looked at him side-eyed. This is why it was probably one of the reasons it was a little bit tougher for him to get any interest at all from NFL teams.
Definitely.
People do hate you still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a different type of hate for sure. Yeah, with the Chiefs, aside from if you take any of the gambling theories or anything out of it, or the officiating theories out of it, it does feel like it's a little bit more of the classic, like, yeah, I just don't like the captain of the football team.
Yeah.
He's like the movie version of the captain of the football team, and I don't like him because of it. He probably bullies people.
Yep.
Yeah, they got a nice glossy exterior and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm sick and tired of this guy.
I wonder what happens with Travis Kelce now. I mean, it's in play that he may retire here. There was a lot of thought that if they win this game, he might retire.
You pointed out that meme that was floating around yesterday, or a bunch of them, of when he was yelling at Andy Reid last season when he assaulted an elderly man.
Correct.
The caption was, I was supposed to propose to Taylor after this.
Yeah, that's really funny. Has anybody heard from Nick Wright? No, we played an impersonation of Nick Wright earlier. Nick was on social media last night. He was snarky when they were down 10-0, and he said, well, now is where the game begins for the Chiefs because they need to get down 10-0 before they go win a Super Bowl. And then he didn't tweet for the rest of the game until after the game was over, and you could tell like he was very devastated by the fact that they went out there and had – I would say by far, that might have been not just their worst playoff game. That was probably their worst game of the Mahomes era. Without having an intimate knowledge of how the last 7 years have looked, they haven't lost many games. Given the stage, I mean, it had to be the worst. You know, not just in terms of the lopsidedness of it, but just the stage you were on.
I think Nick might be in mourning right now because for a guy who's really active on social media, he's got one tweet after the game.
Yep.
And then he's got one tweet this morning.
That's it.
Yeah.
Man. Well, people are going to tune in. Maybe don't want to give up too much, you know?
After the game last night, he said, well, for the first time in three glorious years, there were some doubts. Credit to the Eagles for one of the single most impressive start-to-finish Super Bowls of all time. KC, on the doorstep of history, played its worst game in 5 years. Devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty beat up last night, Nick was. That first half might have been the closest equivalent to like pitching a perfect game. You know, like, I mean, it was for one half, but they kept doing it. I mean, the Chiefs only eventually scored once they were down by five scores. This was up until the garbage time, this was as close to a perfect Super Bowl that I've seen a team play. Mahomes was 6 of 14 for 33 yards with two just devastating picks. You couldn't have two more. If we're rating the impact of interceptions, a pick six and then one inside your own 20-yard line is as bad as it gets. He had a 10.7 passer rating. they generated one first down the whole first half, and it was on their very first play from scrimmage. The little pass to Juju Smith-Schuster, they got 11 yards on their first play. They didn't have a first down for the rest of the half. They were outgained 179-23 in the first half, the Chiefs were.
Disgusting. And that's with Saquon Barkley not doing much in the first half as well.
Yep.
The one thing I would disagree with Nick on that tweet is he said for the first time in 3 years there were some doubts. It's not like the previous two Super Bowl victories were emphatic dominations. Those were close games.
No, and I read that exact tweet you did, and I wondered what did he mean by that. And here's what I think he may have meant is that there were some doubts about the Chiefs because of how many close games they'd played all year.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe they were
It was that it was more foreseeable, perhaps.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't foresee an absolute bludgeoning.
No.
I fantasized about it.
Oh, yeah.
I had all these people in the media telling us that we were bad people if we didn't just appreciate the greatness of three Super Bowl champions. I told you earlier, it annoyed me the way it annoyed me when USC played Texas in the national championship game. Yeah. In that week, all the discussion was whether or not USC was the best college football team in history.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, they haven't won the national championship yet.
No.
What on earth are you talking about?
Yeah,
it gets to the point where you're like, you know, I was a Longhorn fan by the end of the game.
Yep.
Or by the time the game arrived.
That's
because
right.
I was so disgusted with the way people were just putting the cart before the horse.
I'm with you on that. All right, let's circle back to the Texans for a little bit. Look, that's the standard you're trying to play to is to the overall standard those two teams last night played to. Nico Collins was making the rounds on Radio Row. What does he know about Nick Caley? How excited is he about getting into a new offense with Nick Caley? We will hear from Nico Collins coming up next.